Time to bring in Anthony Dasher from UGASports.com. Good morning, Dash. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Doing well.
Excellent, excellent. How was the weekend?
Weekend was kind of busy. You know, the rain with that doubleheader kind of made a long day on Saturday with the football practice. But otherwise, it was pretty good. Had to, you know, obviously yesterday was a little rainy for my taste, but you know, it was okay.
Yeah, no doubt. It was good, I guess, in a sense, to have maybe a Sunday where it wasn't quite as much going on. What did you learn from the scrimmage for football on Saturday?
Didn't learn a thing because I didn't get to watch.
Or what did you learn from not getting to watch of things that you might have learned?
No, they don't let us watch any of the scrimmage except for a couple of, well, for one, I think 8-minute warm-up period is what we got to see. But Coach Mark seemed to be very pleased anyway. I mean, he was happy with the effort that he saw. And said both the offense had its good points and defense had its good points. He's usually pretty vague when it comes to his descriptions about what actually – goes on, but bottom line, he said he was happy, and that's probably the one thing I think most dog fans should probably take for it, that he does think the team is on the right track, although, as he always says, there's still a ton of work to do.
Are we going to see DeAndre Swift in the G-Day game?
I don't know. We asked him that question, on Saturday. He wasn't sure. I kind of tend to doubt it, to be honest with you. I mean, they're just going to be real careful with him with that groin injury that he has. And, as we were leaving the stadium the other day, he and Zamir White were off to the side working with Ron Corson, doing some rehab work. So I don't know. Right now, if he does play, I think it would be very limited. But, you know, we'll have to see how he does this week. But, again, I don't see him taking any chances on with DeAndre.
What other injuries have been the most significant ones here in the spring?
Oh, God.
I mean, it hadn't been that bad, but I was just trying to think.
Yeah, it hasn't been that bad. Of course, let's see here. Justin Schaefer obviously has a injury, a groin injury, I believe, for him to not like groin injury, but an ankle injury. But it's not going to allow him to play. He hasn't practiced all spring long, and Sean Fogarty, the backup center, is out with an injury. But
the fact that you're having trouble thinking of something is actually probably pretty good. I guess Devon Wilson.
Devon Wilson, yeah, you know, he tore his ACL a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, he won't be able to go. But knock on wood, it's been a pretty, good spring as far as injuries go. They've had a couple of defensive linemen get dinged up. I know Michael Barnett had a knee injury. He probably won't play. He's another one I should have thought of earlier. Minor knee injury, I don't think he'll go. Justin Young kind of tweaked his knee a little bit, but he's been back at practice the last couple of days, so he should be good to go. But otherwise, I think that's about it.
Talking with Anthony Dasher from UGASports.com.
Dash, I know that the Fields and Fromm comparison and competition, I say that with air quotes, I think that, it's going to get a lot of attention, obviously. But at the same time, this coaching staff and this regime isn't one to, show their hand all that much. Is this a situation on Saturday where we're going to see Fields, we're going to see Fromm, but with Fields, they're not going to show us anything in terms of things they might have planned for, like, his coming in and maybe having a series or anything like that in the regular season?
No, it's going to be a glorified scrimmage. It's all it's going to be. I know fans hate to hear this, but they're gonna make this as plain and bland and vanilla as possible, from an offensive standpoint. They're gonna let the guys get out there and basically get their work in. And I doubt very seriously to be able to garner any kind of a indication of what they have planned for the fall by what they do on Saturday.
Let's see. All right, so coming up this Saturday, I know Kirby has been telling everybody to be there. So it's going to be. It's not going to be 93K or whatever because of the construction going on in the west end zone. But, I mean, the weather looks like it's going to be pretty good now. So, I think we're going to it's going to be a full house in the sense that, wouldn't you think, of the number of seats that are available, they're going to be taken on Saturday.
Oh, no doubt. I think there's going to be upwards of over 80,000, to be honest with you. I think fans will show up for this thing. Like I said, it won't be quite 93 because of the construction that's still going on. But it's gonna be pretty much a packed house, and I will say this too: it's the first time I've got to be inside Sanford on Saturday after they, you know, started all the construction, the wet end zone project with the new scoreboard and some of the other touch-ups they've done around the place. And it really looks good. It really has a little more of a brightness to it, to Sanford, is what we've got used to seeing in the past year. But the thing I want to see now is how does that new scoreboard sound? I mean, the sound system there has not been the best in the world for a while now, and that's one of the things I know they've really put a focus on to make that a better experience for the fans who do attend. So that's probably one thing I'm looking forward to. But it looks great, though. Everything they've done, they seem to have done a good job.
All right, so let me, from going back and hearing some of Kirby's comments from over the weekend, so he got mad about some stuff about Natrez Patrick.
Yeah, you know, when the media got there, Natrez wasn't at practice, wasn't there. And, of course, with all the stuff Natrez has been through, that was going to be an obvious question. And I think myself and others, I think, you know, we do our little, practice notebooks as soon as we get back to the Buttonsville building. And I think everybody mentioned, hey, we didn't see Natrez Patrick at work today. Didn't know what was going on. We would check with Kirby. And we asked Kirby about that after he got a little upset that we'd wrote something. He was at a funeral. Well, we didn't know that. But he got a little perturbed about that. And I think somebody asked about the tight end and catching the ball. And he got a little upset about that, too. Got to kind of watch with Coach Smart what you ask some questions he doesn't want to have to answer sometimes.
Well, what was the tight ends deal? Because are we going to see the – I guess a lot of people forget that tight ends, they work in mysterious ways where just because they're not catching a pass doesn't mean they're not contributing
exactly.
On a play.
Exactly. I think the reason people are asking that question a lot is that now the Jim Chain, the offensive coordinator, now the coaching the tight ends, that's just I guess an assumption they're going to be, quote-unquote, catching more balls. But you're what you said exactly correct. In fact, Isaac Nowder, he only really caught, like, what, 9 or 10 passes last year, whatever it was. Thought he had a much better year than he had his last two. I'm sorry, then he had his freshman year just because of the how much he learned, how much better he thinks he got as a blocker. So it's all relative. I know fans like to look at the number of catches and yards and touchdowns and use that as a way to grade how tight ends are doing, where actually it's probably the opposite of that.
I think Kirby's really smart, too, in the sense that if he's getting irritated over certain questions, he's also kind of maybe using the media a little bit. Now, I mean, it may be completely wrong, but the situation with Richard LeCount. And throwing that out there. Do you feel like he's kind of trying to send a message to him through the comments that he's making to you guys and instead of just not talking about it at all publicly?
No doubt about that. He picks the moments with players sometimes. We saw that last year with Ben Cleveland at the beginning of the year. He said some of the exact same comments about Ben he said about Richard on Thursday a week ago. And it's funny, we asked him again how Richard looked, and Kirby said, "Doing better. I think you guys woke him up." I'm like, "You guys, you're the one who said that he was performing up to your standards." But he's done that before, and I'm not worried about Richard McCann. I don't think Georgia fans should. He's a quality kid, a hard worker. He just gotta kind of do things right the Kirby way. I think is probably the best way to put it. But yeah, Kirby has used the media before to get his point across, and I'm sure we'll see it again.
Talking with Anthony Dasher from UGASports.com.
Dash, I was out the show this past Friday, but I tuned in and heard Dave and Logan talking about scheduling, you know, which is always a hot topic for not just UGA, but for any fan base. And you look at the main thing I wanted to ask is the neutral site question, where you look at some of these games and it just seems like that when you have games like Alabama and Duke scheduled for Mercedes-Benz Stadium, or even Georgia and Virginia on Labor Day night, I know it's an SEC-ACC matchup, but weren't those neutral site games supposed to be designated for special, really big-time marquee matchups?
I don't know about that, just for, like you said, just having an SEC-ACC matchup. But I'm with you, though. If I'm going to have non-conference game and some big venue, I want it to be against Ohio State or Michigan or somebody. Now, nothing against Virginia or Duke, but, you know, that just doesn't quite strike the fancy, I think, as a big-name contest. I'm sure Georgia fans would love to see the Bulldogs play in any one of those schools I just mentioned, Southern Cal. I mean, of course, the Dogs are going to UCLA in about, five, 6 years, whatever it is. in the future. But yeah, there's a lot of games, a lot of big time programs that fans would love to see Georgia maybe matched up with on a more regular basis, what we're seeing right now. And of course, Notre Dame comes back to Athens, not this season, but the next. So there are some big ones on the docket, but I'm with you, though. They're going to have a big time non-conference game in Mercedes Benz. That's really bringing a big boy into play.
Yeah, I know. It's everybody's got these opinions on the scheduling, too, and I mean, I understand it, and I guess that's just the way things are going now in college
football. And the
playoffs
make it a big, and the playoffs make it a different deal. It kind of, I think, affect that a good bit. I mean, if you're an SEC school, you know, you play your regular season, you win your division, you win the conference. I mean, you're going to get in the playoffs no matter who you play in non-conference games. So I think that's one thing they look at in some schools. Maybe not want to take that chance, but I applaud the ones that do. I mean, I'm all for, you know, I'm all for having the best games you can during the regular season, and that would certainly do the case if Georgia could manage that a few more times.
Well, you're right. I mean, beating a Middle Tennessee or somebody on opening day doesn't do you any more good than losing to a Southern Cal in a neutral site on opening day, you know, in the first week. It's not
going to
kill you for the long run and that kind of thing.
No.
My thing is more just the home and homes. That's what I like about it more than the neutral site. When Alabama's playing Duke in a neutral site game to open the season, we've jumped the shark that's my only thing. But I mean, I get it too. I just, the fact that, you know, Georgia fans got to go to Notre Dame and Notre Dame's going to be coming here and that's the kind of stuff I love about it.
And I hated that Ohio State game series got canceled for whatever reason. I was really looking forward to that. Of course, remember Georgia's supposed to play Oregon too.
A lot of Georgia fans are still mad about that cancellation.
There's some other ones that have been you know, would do good if they could schedule them. But, you know, is what it is, I suppose. But I'm disappointed that they haven't had more big-time games.
Hey, Clemson rolls into town tomorrow night for baseball, and then the Dogs are off to Oxford this weekend to play Ole Miss. So I'll tell you this. I know you were kind of doing both as far as football and baseball this past weekend. That was just in my own personal opinion, pitch for pitch this weekend, those three games against Kentucky, I can't remember a series in the last few years that just grinded like that. I mean, and I mean that in a tense kind of way.
Yeah, and as I mentioned to Coach Strickland after the game, the final game on Saturday, you look at it, Georgia's really three pitches away from sweeping an entire series.
I know.
Two strikes on that Friday, on that Friday night game. You know, either one of those, Dogs win, and a big hit, you know, in that second game on Saturday, and you talk about a Georgia sweep. So just so it shows how close baseball can get. But that second game, that 1-0 game, was one of the best baseball games I've seen in a while. I know it was one of the most frustrating ones because Strickland was leaving 13 on base. But you know, people, you know, I keep getting these questions about, well, here's Georgia about to, you know, kind of going to tailspin. I said, no, this is a different team. I know what you're. You know, they lost a series at Vanderbilt and they lost a close series against Kentucky. But this is a different animal, I think, than what we've seen the past few years. And I'm excited about what this team, I think, can still do the rest of the year.
Yeah, and it's funny too. I mean, if Kentucky's ranked number 10, then Georgia's as good as number 10. If Georgia's number 18, Kentucky's as good as number 8. You know what I mean? It's just like there's just so little difference it looks to right now, you know, Florida seems to be the best team in the league, but you know, after that, it's just such a small little measure of difference between like number 2 through like number 12. I mean, it's incredible.
No doubt. And actually, if you look at the RPI, I think Georgia's number 10 last I looked
in
the boys' world RPI rating. So that's ultimately what's going to, you know, determine, you know, where they at, where they're seated, you know, come postseason. Obviously, assuming they get there, which I think they're in good shape right now, unless they have a total kind of collapse. But again, a big series this weekend at Ole Miss. I know Ole Miss has had some bullpen issues of its own the last week and a half or so that they're trying to get ironed out. But man, it's just crazy. It's a meat grinder at SEC for baseball, and that's something I still don't think people really kind of get or realize how tough this conference is when it comes to hardball.
And I'll say this too: the Dogs opened up conference play at Alabama. not a hostile environment there.
Right.
And then Georgia goes to Vanderbilt. You know, they're always good, but not a hostile environment there.
Right.
The Dogs will be going to Missouri in a couple of weeks. Not a hostile environment there. And believe it or not, you know, Georgia also goes to Florida, and they have, you know, they have good fans, but it's nothing like you see at some of these SEC West places. But this weekend in Oxford, the Dogs are going to see the most hostile fan base that they're going to see all year long.
Yeah, no doubt. I have not been there for a series yet, but I've got, you know, I talked to a friend of mine, Neil McCready, and Chase Parham, who covers, you know, mess for our rivals site there, and they've had told me all kinds of stories about it, what it's like to play there in Oxford. Now, yeah, you're right. It's going to be the one they're going to have to watch the P's and Q's of this, because the fans will be on them.
Yeah, and it's great. I mean, it's a great atmosphere. Robert Tyler threw maybe his best game as a Bulldog. I'll still the start he had out there was better, maybe not statistically, but it was better than the one he had where he almost threw the no-hitter against Alabama here in Athens.
Right.
So, I mean, he threw a gem there, what, 3 years ago or whatever it was. But, I mean, it's going to take – all hands on deck for the baseball team, and hopefully they'll get the pitching situation kind of restarted or you know, just kind of get that going again. It feels like it's gotten a little bit out of kilter, but it was great to see C.J. Smith have the performance he had.
That was big. I mean, in the middle of the season, typically you'll see starters kind of hit the wall a little bit, and that was just a huge, I think, boost to see C.J. come in and do what he did in that second game. Just did a great job just – you know, mixing in his pitches, changing speed, just kept Kentucky totally off balance in the game. It's a shame he didn't get the win, but Coach Strickland, you know, has to be just thrilled that he got that kind of effort, man, because that gives him another weapon now, along with, you know, Tony Losey and maybe some of these other guys that they can plug in as a starter if need be.
Well, I'll tell you what, between Losey and then, you know, what you've seen with Hancock and Ryan Webb and C.J. Smith and – whoever else I'm leaving out from the – well, I was just going to the sophomores and freshmen. It looks pretty good, right? And Shunk, too. Although Shunk is draft eligible. That scares me. But you know, we'll worry about that at the end of the season.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's one of those things where you've got all this good young pitching, too. So it's been fun so far. But this will be an interesting week with Clemson and Ole Miss. Dash, always enjoy the Monday chats. We'll catch you again next week.
Hey, we'll do it.
All right. Anthony Dasher from UGASports.com.